I sing praise, I give you all. you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for that reminder, Lord. We lean in this morning, Father, to remember your love for us, your faithfulness for us.
You.
this morning, Father. We praise you. We've come to trust you, Lord. You are faithful. Yes. Let's declare.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And there is no shadow of tears.
Glad for God's faithfulness in your life today. The Lord is good and faithful in every season of life. This morning, as we go to the Lord together in prayer, we're remembering the family of our dear friend Barbara Brandis, who went home to be with the Lord Wednesday evening. Barbara served this body of believers for many, many years, maybe 25 years as a Sunday school teacher for our children and on missions trips and in so many ways. Barbara was a faithful lady. She shared a birthday with me, and I received more cards from Barbara Brandis maybe than anybody else in life. Barbara was such a blessing to us. And we'll be celebrating her life this Thursday morning here in the sanctuary. Visitation at 10 and a funeral service at 11 o'clock for Barb here in the sanctuary. We invite you to be a part of that if you can. And let's pray for the family right now together. Father God, we pray right now for our dear friends, the Brandis family. Thank you for Barb and the life that she lived, a life of faithfulness and grace and joy. We thank you, Father, for the investment she made into the kingdom of God and into this local body of believers. We pray over her family today, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and the sweet comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the joyous welcome that Barb has already received in heaven and for the words that no doubt she has heard from her Savior. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. We pray, God, that every person in this room today will sense the presence of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their lives today. We have come to church today to meet with you, Lord God, not just to go through motions, but to experience the presence of the real and the living God. We pray today that you would touch our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the worship time we've experienced already. Thank you, Lord, for the word through the gift of the Holy Spirit to remind us that we can rest in you today. Thank you for the word of God that is before us today. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, before we finish praying, we pray for Israel today. They're surrounded by their enemies today. We pray for your help for your people Israel, for peace, O Lord, for blessing, for victory, we pray. We ask, O God, that you would keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And help us, Lord, at every moment to be ready to hear the trumpet sound, calling us home to be with you. Thank you for that blessed hope that we have of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, open our hearts again to your word today to receive in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning as we look one final time today to the book of Jude in our New Testaments. Right near the end of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation, comes this little book, one chapter long, Jude, written by the Lord's brother. Two of Jesus's younger brothers wrote letters in our New Testament, James and Jude. And this little book is an unusual little book. It's short, but it is potent. And we've been examining it together these past now three Sundays, counting today. And today we will conclude by examining the instructions given to us at the end of Jude. Let's read together at verse number one. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men, who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit of God. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Amen. This morning, as we come to a conclusion in our study through Jude's letter to the broader church world, we remember where we've been thus far. We started two Sundays ago with an introduction to this little letter, and as we heard Jude declare to his readers, this is an urgent letter. In fact, Jude started out with one purpose, to write about one thing, and the Holy Spirit changed his direction and moved him to write about an altogether different subject. Jude had planned to write about our salvation in the Lord Jesus. But as he began to write to God's people, the Holy Spirit moved and inspired him to write a strong word of warning to the people of God and to the churches throughout the church world. That warning was a strong word. It brought us to our second lesson last Sunday morning, and this word of warning: there are scoundrels among us. And Jude begins to write about deceivers who have come into the midst of the church world and into the midst of local churches. They're eating at your dinners, Jude says. They are moving about with wrong motivations. They have their own selfish agenda, and they are deceiving you about critical matters that will ultimately, if you listen to them, lead you into danger and destruction. Jude says, I feel I have to write to you to warn you about the deceivers that have made their way into the churches. Now, sometimes we talk about the church with a big C. We talk about the church around the world. But let me remind you that the church around the world is made up of local churches like this one and the one next door and the one in Kansas City and the one in China. Local bodies of believers. And as Jude writes, he's giving a warning that these deceivers have slipped in secretly among the local churches, and they are bringing deception and devastation into the local churches. This is an urgent letter, Jude says. There are scoundrels among us who are doing the devil's work. And Jude says, because of that, you, child of God, you, children of God, you, true believers, you've got to build yourselves up. How many of you understand this morning the necessity of building up our faith in the midst of a world full of deception? Say amen. This is a critical warning that was not good just for the first century. This letter written by Jude 2,000 years ago smacks us right in the face in the day in which we're living. A word about deception in the midst of the bodies of believers. And so Jude warns us at the end of the book that we need to build ourselves up so that we are not deceived and duped by those who would come in promoting their false doctrines among us. And so today I want to move to the last section of the book. We'll begin reading at verse 17 this morning for our text today as we think about Jude's urging upon believers the need to build themselves up in their most holy faith. We begin with a summary word from Jude as Jude says to his readers, these are indeed days of deception. Verse number 17, Jude writes, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So Jude says, these are the days of deception. And we would have to say, as readers of this little book inspired by the Holy Spirit, that these are the days of deception in which we're living as well. Jude says, dear friends, remember the apostles of the Lord Jesus foretold these things. They said in the last times, and listen, if Jude's days were the last times, how many of you know we're certainly in the last of the last times? We've moved 2 millennia away from Jude, and we are certainly in the last times as well. And Jude says there are going to be scoffers who come into the midst of the church, and they're following their own evil desires. They are not following God's desires, and their motivation is not to help the body of believers. Their motivation is to help themselves and to milk the sheep and to fleece the sheep and to beat the sheep. Their motive is not to feed the sheep. They are shepherds, Jude wrote, who feed only themselves. They are not out for the good of the body. They are out for their own selfish motivations and gains. These are the days of deception. And Jude says these deceivers are divisive and destructive. He writes, these are the men who divide you. Well, they're dividing you because of this. You heard the word of God. Thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. But now the deceivers are coming in and they are speaking the opposite message to you. And they're saying, just as the serpent did in the Garden of Eden, did God really say this, that, and they are taking the word of God and distorting and twisting and negating the word of God in their teaching. And because of that, they divide believers. Some believers are going to hold to the truth of God. How many of you are that? Say amen. But other believers, because perhaps of their own temptations and their own desires to go their own way, some will follow after the false teachers. And so these deceivers are divisive. and destructive. And ultimately, Jude says these deceivers are dark and demonic. They follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They have some spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. How many of you know if we're going to listen to Bible teachers, we need to listen to Bible teachers who have the Holy Spirit? Yeah, there are some who want to teach for whatever motivation who have some other spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit at work. The Apostle Paul wrote in one of his letters near the end of his ministry that in the last days, people would start listening to doctrines taught by demons, deceptions brought into the body by demonic spirits. Friends, if that's not a reason to be filled with the Spirit and be operating in the gift of spiritual discerning between kinds of spirits, I don't know what is. But I urge you this morning to be filled with the Spirit so the Holy Spirit can keep us on guard against deception. So Jude says these deceivers are dark and demonic. They do not have the Holy Spirit working in them. Now let's think about the deception that Jude is dealing with in his letter. Jude is very clear about what this deception is about. This deception is about sin. In verse 4, back up to verse 4 in this letter, Jude says these false teachers, listen now, they change the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God, they change the grace of God into a license for immorality. In other words, they say, because God is a God of grace, that means, Christian, that you can go on sinning in the way you want to. It doesn't matter. It's all covered by grace. So the deception here is about sin and whether sin is acceptable for Christian believers who have come into a relationship with God. They are providing life. They have become, these deceivers, their own license bureau. And they are issuing out in the name of God's grace, they are issuing their own licenses for immorality. They issue licenses for sexual immorality. How many churches in the world today have given up on biblical standards regarding morality and sexual morality and immorality? How many churches have given way to the winds of this world? Countless churches. How many believers have begun to believe the lie of the world around about us that sexual perversion and immorality is something that is acceptable? That's the name of the game in our world today. Isn't that right? That wicked alternate lifestyles are acceptable? That even, you know, damaging and dismembering the bodies of children is something that would be acceptable? And they promote the wicked and call it good. We're living in those days of deception. And if you think those things haven't crept their way into local churches, you haven't looked around recently. By the way, I urge you, don't look around. You're fine right here. But many churches and denominations have given way to all of this wickedness that is pumped into them by the world and by people who come into the church claiming the name of Jesus but teaching wickedness, license for sexual immorality. They hand out licenses for substance immorality and for ethical and financial immorality and for verbal immorality. I heard a pastor tell a story recently. We were listening. He talked about going to a meeting of high-class, uppity pastors, and the pastors were sitting around the table cursing and using foul language and laughing about it, and looked at him as if he ought to be participating with them. And he said, if you're looking for me to participate, you've got the wrong guy. Licenses for immorality. Licenses for relational immorality. And in this day in which we're living, and right here in the midst of us today, they're handing out licenses for murderous immorality. I find it absolutely shocking that half of the state of Missouri, believes that it's okay to murder our unborn babies. I find that shocking today. That can only be the result of the steeping of our society in the wickedness of the devil. Are you here this morning? I find it difficult to believe that political leaders on the national stage can claim to be Christians and God followers and then promote the killing of innocent babies. I find that absolutely shocking. Friends, you cannot go both ways. Are you listening to me? You cannot be a child of God and promote the killing of babies. I don't want to spend too much time here this morning, because our focus today is going to be building ourselves up against deception. But listen, we need to be able to name the deception for what it is so that we can steer clear of it and take a strong stand according to the Word of God. Yes. These are days of deception. But Jude's message closes with this word of hope: there is power for prevailing even in the midst of deception. How many of you are glad for your Bible today? Say amen. I'm so glad for the Word of God today. And here's what Jude says in verse number 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Let's summarize the keys for prevailing here. They are these. Number one, we need to fortify our faith. Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That sounds like an active pursuit, doesn't it? Are you awake this morning? That sounds like you shouldn't be satisfied with the 14 stories you learned as a child in Sunday school. Are you here today? That sounds like you ought to always be in a learning curve, learning the Word of God and strengthening yourselves in God's Word. Are you here? We don't know exactly when Jude wrote this letter, but many estimates would put this letter in the 60s, which would mean that this letter is some 30 years removed from the death, burial, and crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus. So many would believe this letter is written after the church has already been around for some 30 years. That would be our best guess and our best estimate. And Jude says, you've received the Word of God. Now you need to be building yourselves up in the Word of God. Many of you in this room today, you have been saved longer than the church had been in existence when Jude wrote this letter. Isn't that right? You've been a Christian. How many here today, you've been a Christian longer than 30 years? Let me see your hand. Sure, many of you here today, you've been a Christian longer than the church had been in existence for Jude. And we have the privilege, because we have the written, inspired Word of God, the Bible. We have the privilege of building ourselves up in our most holy faith. You know what? I have found it to be a great joy over the years to see people who have been in the faith for decades and decades, and to watch them still studying the Word of God, still teaching the Word of God, still applying themselves to the Word of God, and still thrilled by the Word of God. I find that a great joy. How many of you know that you cannot exhaust the Word of God? God's Word is powerful, and it is a treasure for us, and we need to be learning regularly the Word of God, the truth of God. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Are you here? Know what you believe and why you believe it. Don't go out of here and talk to some friend and they say, well, why do you believe that? And you say, well, I go over to First Assembly and that's what they believe. Look at me. Look at me. Stop it right there. If that's all you can say, and you, listen, you may be at a place in your Christian life where that's all you know. That's all right. Everybody starts somewhere. But if you're going to have that discussion, don't tell someone, well, that's what First Assembly of God believes, so that's what I know. If you don't know the answer, say, well, let me get back with you tomorrow. And then you call us, call one of the pastors, call one of your teachers, call somebody who can open the Word of God and share with you the principles of the Word of God. Listen, I'm tired of secular people who have not even studied the Word of God telling us what the Word of God says and what the Word of God doesn't say. The last I knew, Bill O'Reilly was not an expert in the Scriptures. All right, now that's an outdated name, but I heard him years ago spouting off a bunch of things about the Bible. And I thought, he probably hasn't read the Bible in the last 20 years. Listen, don't let people who don't study the Bible tell you what the Bible has to say. And you know what? It's really not sufficient to just be able to say, well, the Bible says such and such. We have books and letters and chapters and verses and words. We have the Word of God written for us. I don't have to say to somebody, well, I believe that because the Bible teaches it. I don't even have to say to somebody who is promoting abortion, I don't have to say to them, well, we're not for that because the Bible is against that. I don't have to do that. This week I was assigned a project by another organization to write a letter in support of pro-life, in support, actually a letter to send to churches to urge them to urge their people to vote against Amendment 3 that is on the Missouri ballot this November. An amendment that would put abortion, the right to abortion, into the Missouri Constitution. So I was asked to write a document for that. I wrote the document. I didn't write in that document, the Bible is against this. I provided text after text after text after text after text after text in support of the cause of life and supporting the reality that a baby in the womb is a life that's being formed by God. Yeah. So we need to build ourselves up in our faith, growing regularly. Secondly, Jude says, we've got to pray with power. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul defined in 1 Corinthians what praying in the Spirit means. It means becoming filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in that prayer language that God gives us. But I believe there are other contexts for praying in the Holy Spirit. I believe praying in the Holy Spirit means praying with the leading of the Holy Spirit, praying with the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life that God hears you. Praying, yes, in the language of the Spirit, praying in tongues, and praying as the Holy Spirit leads you in prayer. When we pray with the work of the Holy Spirit taking place in our lives, we pray with spiritual power. And listen, we need to be the most powerful and productive prayers that we can be. Fortify your faith. Pray with power. And thirdly, Jude says, live in the Lord's love. Keep yourselves, he says, in God's love. I believe as we keep ourselves in God's love, that means being convinced of and saturated and surrounded by God's love. I also believe that we ought to reciprocate that and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength so that our love relationship with God is powerful and strong. Are you listening this morning? I believe there's very little hope for the Christian who does not learn to love God. Are you here? Because if you don't fall in love with God, if you don't build and develop a strong love for God, you will love the world. You will be friends with the world. You will be attracted and drawn away by the lures and the temptations of this world. I want to tell you again, as I did last Sunday morning, there's nothing out in the world for you. Everything good and everything positive, everything you need and everything that is best for you is right in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So Jude says, live in the Lord's love. And he says, hold on to hope the whole way. Let's read it together. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Is there anybody here this morning who's headed for heaven? Let me see your hand. Anybody here who's headed for heaven? I hope that you are. Is there anybody here who's glad that you're headed for heaven? Say amen. Well, Jude says, be strong, build yourself up, keep praying, stay in the love of God as you wait for the mercy of God to bring you home to heaven. I believe Jude is getting at this. I believe Jude is reminding us, yes, this is a dark, deceptive, wicked world, but if we'll hang on a little bit longer and stay true to Jesus, we'll make it all the way home. Are you here this morning? Look at me and listen to me closely. You don't have to fall to the deception of the devil, even if it comes right into the church house. Are you here this morning? No, you can stand strong. There is power for prevailing. These are days of deception, Jude writes. There is power for prevailing, so stand strong. And thirdly, Jude says, there are rogues to be rescued. Some are already falling away into that deception. Listen to verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the what? Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. This is a strong word about bringing back those who are already falling into deception. Listen to what Jude says. He says, we need to be merciful to those who doubt with the intention of bringing them back. Bring back the backsliders. Be merciful to those who doubt. Let me ask you today across the room, do you know somebody right now who has been falling to the deception? Do you know someone who has known the Lord? Maybe even knows the Lord right now, but has been falling to the deception of the devil? Do you know somebody like that right now? I bet you do. I bet we all know people like that who served the Lord at one time, loved the Lord. Maybe they're on the fence right now, but they are slipping down that slippery slope into the deception of the devil. They're falling. And Jude says, we need to be merciful to those who doubt. In other words, don't push them out further, but work to try to bring them back. Are you here? But there's caution involved. We'll look at it in a moment. But Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt and snatch the suffocating. Jude says, snatch others from the fire and save them. Some have already fallen so far into the devil's deception that it's as if they're falling into the fires of hell already. Are you here? Some are already flirting with destruction. They have known the Lord. They have walked with the Lord. But they have fallen so deeply into the devil's deception that it's as if they are in the fires of hell now. They're moving toward destruction. I'm reminded of a word way back in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, where a man named Joshua, the high priest, who had really not been faithful to God, but God is calling him back and urging him to come back and be faithful and serve in the office of the high priest. And Zechariah sees a vision of him standing before the Lord, and Satan is standing at his right hand to accuse him. And as Satan begins to accuse Joshua, the high priest, the Lord stops him and says, the Lord rebuke you. Shut that criticism up, Satan. this, and here's what the Lord says about Joshua the high priest. Is this man not a burning stick snatched from the fire? In other words, God says, have I not pulled him out of that destruction that he was moving into, and now I have chosen him, and he's going to come back and serve? I want you to know, listen, God can do a mighty work even in somebody who it seems like they have just plunged into the devil's deception. Listen, God is able to bring restoration and reconciliation for somebody who has fallen a long way. Are you here? But these are serious matters. When you're on a one-way path toward destruction, you need to make a U-turn fast. These are serious matters. Jude says, bring back the backsliders. Snatch the suffocating from the fire. But he says, even as you do this, continue with caution, Christian. Listen to what Jude says. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. Paul made a similar statement when he urged people to bring back the backsliders. He said, be careful. If you're going to go after the backsliders to bring them back, be careful that you're not tempted in the same way and fall into that same thing. Are you here? Many years ago, we had a ministry of deliverance here at the church. And the ministry of deliverance, we got some leaders in there. They were supposedly leaders in the ministry of deliverance, and they fell right into the sin that they were supposed to be promoting people to get out of. Friends, when we're working to bring people back from a sinful lifestyle, we've got to be careful that we... That's why... Should I say this? That's why barroom evangelism is not a good idea. I'm trying to win him to the Lord, so I'm going to go have a few drinks with him at the bar. Bad idea. And there are a lot of examples like that we could give. The reality is your first priority is getting to heaven yourself. And then, yes, we've got to love others. We've got to bring back the backsliders. But we've got to do that with a certain fearfulness and caution and trepidation that says, I want to bring them back, but I've got to be careful. I can't fall into the same trap. Are you listening this morning? And even as I'm working to bring somebody back from deception, even if I'm not going to enter into that lifestyle, I've got to be careful that I don't fall into believing that same deception. No, I can't afford that. So as you bring back the backsliders, continue with caution, Christians, and detest the dirty duds. Listen to how Jude closes this word about bringing back the backsliders. Listen, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. In other words, listen to me. As you're working to bring back somebody from the devil, you better be hating the devil all the way through. Are you listening? When you're working to bring back somebody from sinful deception, you better be hating that sinful deception the whole while. Are you listening? You can't afford to fall in love with the devil. You can't afford to fall in love with deception. You can't afford to put up with sin. You've got to be careful in the midst of this. There are backsliders that need to be brought back into the truth and the salvation of God. But listen, don't let any of that suck you out into the world. These are days of deception. There is power for prevailing. There are rogues to be rescued. But thank God there is a future for the faithful. Thank God Jude closes his letter on a positive note. Look up at me, everybody. All of it is positive. If I say to you, you better watch out. If you go outside right now, it's hailing, and the hailstones are 4 pounds each. You better not go out right now. Then listen, you better listen to what I say and not go outside. Right? And my word that says don't go outside, there's a hailstorm, is actually a word of good news for you because it protects you from getting clobbered on the head by a 4-pound hailstone. Are you here this morning? Listen, every word of God is good. Are you listening? Every word of God is good. The encouraging words are good words. Could you say amen? The corrective words are good words. Would you say amen? The rebuking words of Scripture, they are good words. Would you say amen? And so Jude writes a strong letter, but this letter is good medicine for the church. And Jude closes us this letter by reminding us that there is a future for the faithful. Jude 24 says, to him who is able to keep you from falling. There it is. This whole letter has been about the risk of falling to the deception of the devil. There is great risk of falling to the deception of the devil. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Huh? If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I have watched young people who have been fully invested into a youth group all through high school, worshiping the Lord, praising God, going on the mission trips at every activity. I've watched them travel to another city for college, and within just a few months, they've stopped going to church. They've stopped obeying Jesus. They've started living in sin. They've started doing their own thing, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. I have watched that. I want you to know that's not just young people who do that. There are people of every age who do that. I just want to urge you and warn you, it is very easy to lose out with God if you get your eyes off of Jesus. We've got to be careful. We don't have to fall, though. Jude says, there is one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Let's pick it apart quickly. One, Jude says, there is a powerful protector who is watching over us and working to keep us. If you will stay close to God, he will stay close to you. Are you here? Listen, I believe that if you are determined to live for God and to love God, and if your heart is willing to obey God, then I believe God's power will keep you safe and strong till the very end. But you, listen, we have to make up our minds that we're going to walk with God. Are you here? There's a powerful protector. He is able to keep you from falling. And there's a presentation planned. Not only is God able to keep you from falling, but he's able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Is anybody looking forward to graduating and going to heaven? Yes? Look at me. Look up here at me. Jude says, God is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That means there's coming a day with all the pitfalls and the potholes in this world. By the way, how many have you noticed? How many have noticed that the potholes in the parking lot are fixed? Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God you don't have to worry about falling in the parking lot right now. But the world in which we live is a different place. There are pitfalls and potholes all over the place. There are opportunities for you to give way to the deception of the devil at every turn. Are you listening? Every day you go to work, every time you drive down the street, there's opportunity for you to get your eyes off of Jesus and go a different way. But thank God, there's coming a day. If you will stay close and right with Jesus, there's coming a day when God will rescue you home to heaven, and he will present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And every opportunity for sin will be in the rearview mirror. Somebody shout a good shout of hallelujah. One day when we get to heaven, thank God, the deception will be gone, huh? And the opportunities for falling will be gone. We'll be home free. Oh, you know, I've talked about my dad some lately because it was just 2.5 weeks or so ago that my dad went home to be with the Lord. My dad's final demise was a result of falling in his home. He lived by himself and he fell in his home. And he laid there for about a day in his home. He fell and hit his head on the refrigerator. And this was not his first fall. He had fallen a couple of other times to the degree that my brother David and I had breakfast with him one day and said, Dad, let us help you get some different arrangements. And he said, I'm not ready for that yet. If you know my dad, you can't do anything with my dad until he's ready. Yeah. My dad had had a few falls over time, and that last fall led to his demise. 92 years old, he made it pretty long way though, didn't he? But I want to thank God today. My dad is in the presence of God in heaven today. He's not walking with a cane any longer. Are you here this morning? He's not walking with a cane any longer. There's no risk of falling in heaven. Thank God he's home free today. And that presentation awaits for each of us who will follow the... Yes, we've got to guard ourselves in this wicked world. Yes, we've got to build ourselves up and be sure that we don't fall into deception. Yes, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But as we walk with Jesus on the straight and narrow way and keep our eyes fixed on him, there's coming a day when we will step over into the presence of God in heaven and all will be well. All will be well. Hallelujah. There's a presentation planned up ahead. Don't miss it. I said, don't miss it. You've come too far to turn back now. Are you here? You've come too far to turn back now. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's a powerful protector. There's a presentation plan and there's a praise party proceeding. Jude closes the book with this word: to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. I believe that praise there at the end, that praise burst, because really Jude could have ended the book by saying, so y'all be careful now, amen. And that would have made sense to us after this kind of letter. So y'all be careful now, amen. But instead, Jude chooses to close such a potent little letter of warning with a praise burst. It says, praise be to God. And I believe the praise be to God is all about this. Even in the midst of a dark, deceptive, demonic, destructive world, there is power from God to keep you safe and to get you all the way home. If you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and walk with him, we're gonna make it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you think we're praising now, wait till we get there. Huh? Wait till we get there.